space between where I used to be and this reckoning. I know I will never be alone. There was another in the fire, standing next to me. There was another in the waters, holding back the sea. And should I ever need reminding of how I've been set free, there is a cross that bears the burden, where another died for me. There is another in the fire.
Welcome to Carpenter Shop International Church. We build people. CSIC is a church whose mission is to love all people, win them to Christ, build them in discipleship, and send them out to fulfill their destiny. At CSIC, our core values are inclusion. We thrive on diversity. Everyone matters. It's exciting. Worship, discipleship, fellowship, evangelism, care. CSIC loves people, all people. Hashtag love win, build sin. Check us out on Facebook at Carpenter Shop International Church or on YouTube at CSIC Media. Or join us in person on Sundays at 10 a.m. or Wednesdays at 7 p.m.
Good morning, Carpenter Shop. How are y'all doing this morning? Good. Will you stand and worship with us today?
Lord, open the eyes of my heart. the noise in my mind, 'cause I want to hear you. I want to hear you. Silence the noise in my mind, Lord, and open the eyes in my heart, 'cause I want to know.
Wide, I will worship you. how we have the power, that God gives us the power to sing out and praise Him. We have a lion inside of our hearts, and that's Him speaking through us. When we sing, we are worshiping a great God. Just worship Him and sing out.
So come on, my soul, don't you get shy of me and lift up your song, 'cause you've got a lion inside of those lungs. Get up and praise the Lord. Come on, my soul, oh, don't you get shy of me, lift up your song, 'cause you've got a lion inside of those lungs. Get up, get up, get up.
Jesus, come on, let's just begin to thank Him right where we are. Jesus, we thank You. We give You praise for who You are, Lord. We thank You for the ways that You love us, God. Let's just stay right here in this moment. God is doing something powerful. Would you just close your eyes right where you are and just continue to seek Him in this moment in your own way. Begin to sing out your own song. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just sing your own song to the Lord. We love You, Lord Jesus. We praise You, Jesus. And we magnify Your name. Holy, 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 holy. That's it. Just release a sound to the Lord. Just release your gratitude to Him. all over this room, all over this room. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We know it's not much, Lord, but we give it to you. We give you our praise. We give you our hearts. It all belongs to you. It all belongs to you, Jesus. There's freedom in this moment. There's breakthrough in this moment. Keep singing, keep singing, keep singing. Right where you are, whatever you have need of. Whatever you have need of in this moment. This is the moment to present it to the Lord. We are right before the throne of God today. And if you'll just release that burden to Him and let Him have it, He'll take it all. He'll take it all. Begin to ask Him for your healing. Begin to ask Him for your breakthrough. Begin to ask Him for your financial miracle. Begin to ask Him for whatever that thing is that's been weighing on your spirit, that family member who doesn't know the Lord, that individual that you've been praying for. Begin to speak that name before Jesus right now. We thank you for the breakthrough, Lord Jesus. We thank you for the breakthrough right now. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Breakthrough, breakthrough, breakthrough. Breakthrough, breakthrough, breakthrough. Breakthrough. Jesus. Jesus. Let's sing that chorus one more time. Presence today. We thank you, Lord, for a hallelujah that we can present to you. We thank you for a praise that we can lift up to your name. God, we thank you that you've created us with a plan and a purpose, and that you put your spirit inside of us. And it's with that spirit today that we cry out, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah to the King. And Lord, we thank you that you're going to move. You're going to continue to move in the rest of this service. We thank you, Lord, that you're changing lives and hearts and minds today. Would you open us up to receive from you in Jesus' mighty name? And the people of God said, amen. Hallelujah. Let's give God praise. You can be seated in his presence. The presence of God is so good, it's so strong and thick and heavy in this room right now. Do you feel that? Come on, do you feel that? That is the glory of God all over this place.
Wow.
I just pray that this atmosphere remains for the rest of this service, and I believe it will, but it's just permeating our spirits right now. Well, I want to welcome you to Carpenter Shop International Church. We're so glad that you're here with us. If this is your first time joining us, we'd like to meet you personally and invite you to come into the foyer after the service and visit us at the Welcome Center so that we can get to know you and give you a gift. And if you're tuning in online, thank you so much for joining us. If you're watching by television, we're glad that you're worshiping with us today. We do have a few announcements, so I have to look at my phone here because we've got quite a few this morning, and I want to make sure that we cover them all. Easter Sunday is March 31st, and we're going to join Beechwood Country Club as we always do for our annual Easter Sunday service. Breakfast tickets are available at the Welcome Center, so if you're wanting to join us for that, make sure that you take care of that. Easter egg hunt is Saturday, March the 30th at 2 p.m. So parents, get your kids ready. Get that on your calendar. You don't want to miss out. It's going to be an amazing time. We do need volunteers to bring candy. If you can bring a bag of candy, make sure that you pick one up and deliver it to Pastor Miranda. Individually wrapped candy, not bags of jelly beans, okay? But individually wrapped candy so that we can put them in the eggs. And we would very much appreciate you for doing that. Also, a volunteer opportunity to serve. Abdul Roscoe needs additional volunteers for security. And if you are interested in that, you can find him, get connected with him. If you happen to see one of the security members walking around, grab them and let them know that you're interested so that they can get in touch with you. We want to keep Carpenter Shop safe. I don't know if you notice it, but there is always somebody standing, watching, and making sure that we are protected. Are you thankful for that? I'm glad to know that I'm in a church where I can feel safe. And it takes a lot of work and a lot of effort to do that. And if you want to help make that happen, make sure you speak to Abdul. We have a concert Thursday the 14th of March at 7 p.m. Sanctus Rio, Unspoken, J.J. Weeks. You've heard them on the radio. The song Confidence, Start a Fire. So if you are interested in that, you can scan the QR code that's right behind me. All you do is pull out your phone, point your camera at it, you click the link that pops up, and follow the prompts. Now, if you're a little bit old school and you like the traditional way of doing things, you can meet us at the Welcome Center and we will get you your tickets. There's a way to make it happen. We're here for you. So if you're excited for the concert, we want to make sure that you are here for that. And then tonight at 6 p.m., we have a night of comedy and laughs and evangelism. We have our special guest, Michael Rowan, is with us. We're so glad that he's here. If you're excited for that, come on. We are pumped for this, and so we want to make sure that you bring somebody. I'm so glad to see the house full today, and so I can see that we're already thinking about this. Can we just give an applause for that? We're already thinking about how we can reach people around us. And so tonight is an opportunity. It's going to be all about presenting the gospel. And so your unsaved friend, your loved one who you've been praying for, that family member you know needs Jesus, maybe they need to rededicate their lives, or maybe they've never met him before. But tonight is the night. So bring them out, 6 p.m., right here in the sanctuary. And we also are going to bless the Lord with our tithes and our offerings. Are we ready for that? Oh, that was weak. That was weak. Come on, let's bless the Lord with our tithes and our offerings. God has blessed us and we want to be a blessing. So there are several ways to do that. You can scan the QR code behind me. That's the easiest way. That's the way that we recommend. You can use that to set up a recurring gift, which is particularly helpful if, and you can make your way forward if you want to go ahead and drop your offering in the buckets. It's especially helpful to set up recurring giving if you're going to do Kingdom Builders. Kingdom Builders is an opportunity to sow into missions, to sow into other ministries and to invest in special projects that are happening right here in the church. And when we do that, we are expanding our ability to minister to the world around us, right here in our community and all across the world, setting people free from debt slavery in Pakistan, digging water wells, doing all kinds of things across the earth to build God's kingdom. And so if you want to be a part of that above and beyond your tithe, give to Kingdom Builders. If you're giving by cash or check, please include your email in the memo line. If you're watching online, just click the link in the comment section or in the description box. And I forgot to mention, if you're watching online and you want a concert ticket, all you have to do is go to csicministries.com. Again, it's csicministries.com, and you can get your concert tickets there, or you can just Google us, Carpenter Shop International Church. We are the first result that pops up. Would you stand with us as we continue to worship the Lord? Let's pray over the offering. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to sow into your kingdom. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to give to you out of the abundant blessings that you've given to us. God, we ask for a return on the seeds that we sow. We ask that you would open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing that we cannot contain. Lord, would you bless us in our sacrifice? Lord, as we surrender ourselves in worship, Lord, by giving our finances to you, by being obedient to your word, a tenth, the Bible says, we give a tenth to the Lord. Lord, and we know that as we give, Lord, you give back to us, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. And so we're not limited to just a tithe, but we go above and beyond because you're an above and beyond kind of God. You're a God of abundance. You're a God of grace. And so we thank you for that grace being poured out today in Jesus' mighty name. Let's worship the Lord.
Church, this song just talks about the Lord refining us, making us new, making us different. And sometimes that process cannot feel good. That process isn't always comfortable. But is it anybody's heart desire this morning to just have the Lord to purify them, to purify us, to make us clean again? Can we lift our hands all over this room as we worship?
Your word is Jesus. The altar's where you meet us. Take me there, take me there. What you need is just an offering. It's right here, my life is here. Now be a living sacrifice for you. You're a fire, the refiner. I wanna be consumed. I wanna be tried by fire, purified. You take whatever you desire. Lord, here's my life. I wanna be tried by fire, purified. You take whatever you desire. Lord, here's my life.
If your glory wants to come in, let it fall. We want it all. Lord, your fire is consuming. Fill this place, set it ablaze, and I'll be a living sacrifice for you. You're a fire. Fire. I wanna be consumed. I wanna be tried by fire. Purified. You take whatever you desire. Lord, here's my life. I wanna be tried by fire. Purified. You take whatever you. Lord, here's my life.
So clean my hands, purify my heart.
for something? The thought of being on fire for the Lord, for some of us, it excites us. For some of us, it gives us passion. It gives us drive to continue to chase after him. And if some of us are being honest, the other side is painful. The other side, we're afraid of that because burning sounds like it hurts. Burning sounds like it leaves scars. But when I think about the three Hebrew boys who were thrown into the fiery furnace for being passionate and being on fire for the Lord internally, when they were thrown into the fire, they didn't smell like the environment they were in. And I think some of us just need to be reminded that as long as we are connected to the Holy Spirit, as long as we are connected to the Son of God, the fire that we might face around us, the fire that we deal with every single day, we won't smell like the environment we're in. So I just dare anybody in this room, if you desire God to put a fire back in you again, a passion back in you again, to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth, not just because of what your situation is, but because you know, as long as you're connected to the God of the universe, he's got it all in his hands. No, I wanna. We only desire you, God. So clean my hands. Purify my heart. I wanna. Only for the Lord God Almighty. Take my life as a sacrifice.
Praise the Lord. How many of you just honestly have noticed that the more on fire you get for God, the more you are tried? Come on. Hallelujah. Sometimes you just say, hey, I better back off. But you know what? You press on. You know what? You press on to the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. God is working in my life. God is working in your life, and he's working in the lives of everybody who will avail themselves to him. Come on, give the Lord a hand of praise one more time. You can be seated in his presence. So glad you're here today. You know, I grew up in the country. Well, if you're from this part of North Carolina, whether you want to admit it or not, you're in the country, y'all, okay? You're in the country. But I grew up around an old-fashioned grocery store. I remember the sign blowing in the wind, Pastor Frank. Gas was 29 9/10 cents a gallon. I remember that. I remember 2 for a penny cookies, hoop cheese. Come on, y'all. I remember all those things. And I remember the gas. You know, my grandfather used to come out to the pump, and you know, you did this number. There you go, Hersey. Hersey started cranking. Hersey, you know, then you pick up the pump. And, you know, we had two kinds of gas. We had regular, and I know some of y'all today want to call it super, but it was called high test. Come on, high test, y'all. How many of y'all know what high test is? Well, there are all types of ministers in the world and in the kingdom, and most of them are regular or mid-grade, but then occasionally you meet one that's high test, y'all, okay? Would you give it up for my dear friend, Michael Rowan? Come on, he's high test, y'all.
Amen. That's enough for me. Let's give it up for Jesus. Come on, everybody in the house. Now, come on to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Come on. Lily of the Valley, Sweet Rose of Sharon, Triumphant Lion of Judah. Give him praise. Hey, look at somebody and say, Jesus is. That was weak and puny and pitiful. Say, Jesus is the best thing that has ever happened to me. If you believe it, make some noise one more time in the house. Hallelujah. Amen. Could I get that table right there, brother? That little table would help me out. Thank you so much. You may be seated. Man, so good to be with you. I've been to 48 out of 50 U.S. states, 6 out of 7 continents, but I've never been to Ahoskie, North Carolina. Come on, somebody. Amen. Well, man, how many like that worship today? Come on now. Pastor, I learned a lot growing up about praise and worship from watching The Price is Right. How many remember The Price is Right? Holla at me. Remember how that would go? Old school Bob Barker. He'd say, Sheila, come on down. You're the next contestant on The Price is Right. Man, that girl be like, ah, run down. She ain't won nothing. She's as broke as a convict. But how many of you know she's shouting at the potential? Come on, somebody ought to shout right now in this room and say, God, I'm shouting at the possibilities of what's going to take place in this room today. Woo! Come on, somebody. How many came expecting, amen? You get what you expect. If you came expecting something, you'll get something. If you came expecting nothing, you won't be disappointed either. Amen. You get what you expect. But before I get into the word today, I want to give all of you an awesome opportunity. Let me say this. How many of you believe that our faith has got to mean more outside these four walls than it does in here? I love church. I love everything that happens in church. But if we don't take what we've had deposited inside of us in this place, outside these four walls, and everything we've done in here doesn't matter. In 1954, there was an incredible couple by the name of Drs. Mark and Huldah Buntain. They started a ministry called Mission of Mercy. It's a ministry that thrives and survives today as a ministry called One Child. One Child brings hope and health and healing to children in 14 of the most demolished destinations on the planet. My father told me a story. I was probably about 12 years old, and it was the story of a little boy, and he was looking inside the window of a shoe store. You know, he had his face pressed up against the glass. He was admiring all the shoes. Well, a man walked by, and he couldn't understand why this young boy was so enamored with all these shoes until he realized when he looked down, you know, the boy had no shoes on his feet. So compassion fell on the man's heart, and he took the boy inside the shoe store. He said, son, which one of these shoes do you like? And the little boy was so excited, you know, he didn't even know what to do. He said, I like those, and I like those. He saw one pair, and he said, but sir, those are beautiful. Well, the man had all three pair of shoes brought to the boy, and he bought all three pair. And the boy had new shoes on his feet, and had a bag of shoes in this hand, and a bag of shoes in this hand. And they're walking out, and he's just so overwhelmed with joy and happiness and gratitude that he looked up at the man, and he said, thank you, God. The man said, son, I'm not God. He said, I'm just one of his children. He said, I knew you were related somehow. Come on, somebody, can we be men and women of God like that? Could we be a church that not only sees a need or recognizes a need, but responds to a need? I'm reminded of another story, and it was a little boy, and he was in his front yard playing with matchbox cars. You fellas remember that? That's old school right there. And he'd had sidewalk chalk, and he'd drawn a track, and he was racing his little toy cars around the track. And well, a man who lived next door pulled up in a brand new CLK Mercedes, you know, just gorgeous, fire engine red, had them 26s on him, man, chrome dip rims, had the telescopic convertible roof, had leather interior, had a big bow on the hood. The little boy's so blown away, he drops his toy car, he walks over and he goes, wow! And the man said, you like that? You like that, little man? That's a CLK. That's a $125,000 piece of art. And the little boy goes, wow, where did you get it? And the man said, well, that's the kicker. He said, my brother just bought me this car for my birthday. And the little boy goes, wow, I wish. And the man goes, stop right there, little man. I know what you're going to say. You're going to say you wish you had a brother like that. This little boy started to cry, and he goes, no, I was going to say, I wish I could be a brother like that. I went to Haiti 5 years ago. I didn't go to preach or to teach. Pastor, I didn't go to put on a comedy night. I just went to love kids. That was the reason for my trip to love kids, was to hold kids, was to feed kids. I went to the dollar store. Do y'all got a dollar store around here? 20? I went to the dollar store and bought a 99-cent bottle of bubbles. How many of you know we can't get students here in the U.S. to stop looking at their dumb cell phones for 5 minutes? That's right, I said it. And these children were following me around like I was a celebrity just because I was blowing bubbles. We would feed them. First lady, they wouldn't even touch their food. You could tell they were starving, and they would literally patiently wait until every single child had been served. And I don't know if you've ever been a part of a situation that was overwhelming, but that was mine. And the missionary looked over and he said, "Pastor, are you okay?" And I said, "Well, you know, I'm just struggling a little bit because I know this is the only meal these kids are going to get today." And he just looked at me and smiled and he goes, "It's the only meal they're going to get in the next 4 days." So I'm just telling you, Carpenter Shop, I picked them up. I scooped them up. I didn't care what they looked like, what they smelled like, how dirty they were. I hugged and loved on all of them. I showed them Jesus, came home. Man, my heart was so full. And then many of you will remember seeing on CNN, Fox News, that Hurricane Matthew had come through and just smashed the entire area. It's now the poorest country in the Western Hemisphere. But just for a couple of moments via this video today, I want to share with you this journey that I took, just a snapshot, and I want to share with some of you how you could do something today that goes far, far beyond the doors of this building. So direct your attention towards the screens.
Only Child Matters host homes. They have sleeping conditions there. This is about as real and as rough as it gets here in Haiti. And so we just wanted to give you a shot of what people deal with and how they live every day. This is why we go out 50 weekends a year all over the United States, asking people to change lives just like this one.
Right?
Here we stand, the world awaits, while let the stars tonight light the way, hand in hand. Light or rain, it's your constant love that gives me strength. Under the starlight, we'll find our way. I know this is the start of something beautiful.
Make some noise. Isn't that awesome? Yes. And that was our trip to Haiti. I was in Crystal Springs, Mississippi. I was in a little church there, and a 12-year-old boy came up to me after seeing this video, and he said, "I'd like to sponsor a child."
And as excited as I was at his enthusiasm, he was kind of a child himself. And so I held up a profile like this, and I said, well, little man, I said, you realize this isn't a pamphlet? He goes, no, I know. I said, no, I mean, it's not a brochure or promotional pamphlet. It's that child. He said, I know it. I already asked my mom and dad. Well, that got my attention. So I looked behind him, and his mom and dad were standing about 20 feet behind him. They were holding hands, and water was just spilling off this woman's face, and she motioned to me. She goes, it's okay. So I look back at this kid, and I said, why do you want to do this so badly? He goes, because my little brother's dead. He said, I don't have a little brother anymore, Pastor. He said, so I'm going to cut grass, and I'm going to rake leaves, and I'm going to scrape up $39 so I can have a little brother again. He was so proud. He's like, I'm going to do it all by myself. And I know I don't know any of you personally. We just met, but can I just be painfully real here in this first few days of March 2024? If a 12-year-old child can do this, there's not a person in this room that can't do it. You say, well, you know, man, we had the pandemic and now the economy. You live in the United States of America. I don't need to say anything else. I could go to any major city in this country. I could take a homeless person living under a bridge, and I can promise you, Carpenter Shop, they live like royalty compared to these children in third world countries. $39 is not a round of golf. $39 is not a pair of Nikes. Let's just get real. If you were to go to Pizza Hut today and have a family of five, you're not going to eat lunch today for $39. $39 changes a child's life. Can I tell you what it is? It's literally a dollar and a handful of nickels a day. You probably have it in the cup holder or the ashtray of your car. It gives a child the five things that they need to transform their world. It gives them food. It gives them clothing. It gives them medical care and vaccinations. It gives them an education. They get to go to school. And fifth and most importantly, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Five things that transform their world for what many of us spend more than that every month on Starbucks. I'm not trying to ask anyone in this room to do something that I'm not willing to do. That would make me a hypocrite. I personally sponsor every month seven children. Did anybody see the movie War Room? Holler at me if you saw War Room. Powerful movie. Well, Pastor, I built a war room in my home. So when they were going to pour the slab, I called my builders and I said, hey, I need to know what day you're pouring the slab. And they said, well, Pastor, we don't know what day that'll be. I was like, well, I'm buying this house and I want to know what day they're pouring the slab. And so he called me up and he said, Pastor, next Tuesday, 7 a.m., they're pouring your slab. And so, y'all, I went to Israel 5 years ago and I brought back as much anointing oil as I could find. And can I tell y'all, I took probably a half a gallon of oil out there and I poured that oil all over that ground. And I got the biggest Bible I could find and I laid it in the foundation. I watched the concrete pour over the... Can I tell you something? You can't walk in my house or walk out without literally standing on the Word of God. Come on, somebody. It's in the foundation of the house. Pastor, I put scriptures all over the beams before they put it in the water. I bathe that thing in prayer. And in that place, I put a war room, and it's a room dedicated to prayer, and there are prayer requests all over the wall, and all seven of my babies are on that wall, and I go in, and I touch every picture, and I say, God, touch my babies today and help them to grow and help them to know more about you, and Lord, keep them healthy. They write to me. I write to them. I'm going to ask someone in this room today to do something bigger than yourself. How many of you believe that it is a responsibility of the body of Christ to take care of children that cannot take care of themselves? It's our responsibility. The book of Proverbs says if a man shuts his ears to the cry of the poor, he too will cry out and not be answered. How many of you know it's not if you're going to have needs, it's when? You say, I'm doing good. I don't care. There's going to be times in your life where you need the hand of God on your life. And church, I don't know about you, but I want to know if I go to the Father and I say, God, I'm in a spot, man. I want to know that God will look at me and say, Michael, I can see time and time again where you were not oblivious to the needs of others around you. So now that you need help, I'm going to come to the rescue for you. Feel the presence of the Lord in this place. I'm going to ask my help to come forward if they would. Gentlemen here and a gentleman here. And I'm going to have two gentlemen in the back. I brought children from all over the world. I brought children from as young as 2 and 3 years old all the way up to teenagers. They are from Uganda. They are from Bangladesh. They are from Nairobi. They are from Kenya. They are from Nigeria. They are from all over the world. And I know this might be the part of the service where somebody in this room might be saying, you know what, Pastor Mike, I'd like to help. I'd like a little girl. I'd like a little boy. We don't do it that way. That's not how we do this. You're not going to riffle through these kids to find one that you think is cute. If you're willing to help us today, I believe the child that you're handed will be the child that God intended you to have. Pastor, I could blow these folks away with stories. I've had women come to me and say, I'm a nurse. I sponsor a little girl. She wants to be a nurse. I've had people say, their birthday is my birthday. I don't know where Pembroke, North Carolina is. I don't know how far it is from here, but I was in Pembroke, North Carolina, this part of the service, and a lady screamed and stood up and asked if she could say something. And bro, they took a microphone to her, and her daughter was sitting there next to her falling apart. And the lady said, my daughter lost her son last year in an automobile accident on December 23rd. She was randomly handed a child that was born on December 23rd. On a funnier note, I was at a biker church in Rock Springs, Wyoming, and pastor of the pulpit was a Harley Davidson. Is that awesome or what? And it cranked up. Is that dope or what? Like, literally, it was a half of a motorcycle, and it was a biker church, and this guy came up to me, and brother, he was a man's man. I mean, this dude, he said he was 6'10", came in at 450, just a monstrous man. He had a big old chain on and leather chaps and tattoos and piercings and big old handlebar mustache, and he was crying like a baby, and I looked over, and I was like, bro, are you all right? And he's like, preacher, he said, I totaled my Harley Davidson 2 years ago. He said, I laid my bike down, wrapped it around a telephone pole. He said, for 2 years, I've been asking God to give me another Harley. And he sponsored a little boy, and his name was Harley. He said, it wasn't the Harley that I was praying for. He said, but I think I love this one more. And then last but not least, maybe you're here today, and you're saying, you know what, Pastor, I'd like to help. But like, if I do this, I'm locked in, right? I'm locked in for a long time. You're not locked in to anything. You can sponsor a child for a year. You can sponsor a child for 10 years. You can sponsor a child for 6 months, 10 months, 24 months. There's no time frame. But every month that you do it, you're giving a child a chance that they'll never have. You know what? Here's all I'm going to say. If you're here in this room right now from the front to the back wall and you say, Pastor, I could go out to eat one time less a month and use that money to spend the life, to change a child's life, all I want you to do is raise up your hand and they'll come put one in your hand. Guys, would you begin to move? Just keep your hand up until they get one in your hand. Thank you. Thank you. Brother, just go ahead and begin to go. Pass them out as quickly as you can. Keep your hand up until they get one in your hand. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. They're coming. They're coming. They're going to need some help over here, I think, on the left. Thank you. Thank you. Please keep your hand up until they get one in your hand. You want one, brother? Did you say you want one? Okay. Okay. Can I give it to you and give it to you? Okay. There you go. You know what? I'm going to keep it for a second, then I'll give it back. Please keep your hand up until they get one in your hand. Guys, we're going to need some help. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, brother. Thank you. This just shows the heart of your church, man.
Joy and I had the privilege just a few years ago to stand hand-to-hand with Hulda Buntain. You're talking about Mission of Mercy. I know, Pastor Frank, you know these people. Mark and Hulda done an incredible work. And the beautiful thing is they've left a legacy. And for evangelists to be able to travel the country and continue the work that they did is absolutely incredible. I'm excited, man. I love the Middle East. Y'all know that, don't you? I just got a little 7-year-old girl named Helen, born in January from the nation of Jordan. Come on, y'all. Amen.
Thank you. Guys, we've got several over here. If you could help, please. We need you to be mobile if you can, brother. Come on over here if you would. How many have not received a child that want a child? Want to make sure we got everybody? We got everybody? Perfect. Okay, all of you that have a child, I know you're anxious to look at the child, but I'm going to have you look at me for a second. In your hands is a child. I have no other record of this child. Please know, in your hands is the only printed material of that child. If you look in the middle, you'll see there's an area for you to fill out. This will be one of the few times that a preacher will let you fill something out while I'm preaching. But fill it out today. See me at that green table out in the lobby, and then I'm going to tear this page out, and then you'll take this home with you. And everybody look at me. Most important thing I'm going to say today. Are you ready? If you leave today with this, and I don't have this middle page, you've officially kidnapped my child, okay? And so I don't want that. So please take a moment, fill it out. I know some of you are going, is this safe? Folks, this ministry, as Pastor said, has been around since 1954, one of the most reputable ministries on the globe. Your information is safe. So take a moment, fill it out, see me afterwards. I'll tear this page out, and then you'll take this home with you. This is just a little overview. And then in about a month, you're going to get a whole packet. Everything you need to know about your child, things that you can do, things that you can't, things that you can send them, things that you can't. But when you get a letter in the mail saying from your child, I love you, or thank you for my food, or I'm praying for you, I'm just telling you, you're messed up forever. So can we make some noise for these children today? Thank you so much. Thank you so much. And this is a passion of mine. There you go, love. Thank you so much. And that's what we're talking about today. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to take the hand of the person next to you right now, and let's ask the Lord to bless our time together. Do me a favor, Carpenter Shop. Don't listen to me. Pray. Pray with me. Lift your voice. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for today. I thank you for last week and last month. But Father, we're not satisfied with the blessings of the past. We want you to do it again. Do it again in our hearts and do it again in our lives. And after it's all been said and done and we leave this building today, let us know that we know that we know we've been in your house. Let us know we've been in your presence. We believe it and receive it in Jesus' name. And everyone said, give the Lord praise in the building. Come on. Come on. Someone say, Jesus! Amen. How many feel good? Raise your hand. All right. How many look good? Raise your hand. How many know the person next to you lied? It's okay. Go ahead. Raise your hand. I want to give you today, it's not a long word, but it is a strong word. I want to talk about passion. Will you shout that out? One, two, three. No, with an attitude. One, two, three. Tonight, we're talking about finding your passion. I'm going to say this. I think it's going to get an amen. I'm not saying it to get an amen. It's just the truth. Our world is jacked up. And I'm not just talking about because Bruce Jenner wanted to be Caitlyn. Amen. I'm not just talking about that. I'm not just talking about same-sex marriage. I'm talking about America is racked with AIDS and rape and gangs and racism and government corruption and pornography and drug addiction and alcoholism and on and on and on the list goes. The Ten Commandments have been thrown out. Prayer is out of schools. There are now denominations that are ordaining, practicing homosexuality. We're going the wrong way. And so now more than ever, we as a body of believers have got to rise up and say, you know what? What was I created to do? What was I called to do? I'm going to share a scripture with you, Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. No need to turn there. We'll throw it up. It says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. Someone shout, good works, that God prepared in advance for us to do. Isn't that a mind blower? The reason you were created, church, was to do good works. The Bible says in the living that we are his masterpiece. I like that. God created you. He made you a masterpiece. He made you one of a kind. And the Bible tells us that everyone in this room, God created us all to be masterpieces, but he created us to do great things, watch this, that he prepared in advance for you to do. How many know you ain't got to pray about it, you just got to step into it and do it. So you got to figure out your calling. So when you look at your life, rather than saying, well, this is what I was educated in, or rather than saying, well, people tell me I ought to try this, I'm asking you, church, what is it in your life that when you do it, it makes you feel whole? What is it in your life that when you do it, there's something in your gut that says, you know what, I was born to do this. I was created to do this. There's an old movie out there called Chariots of Fire. How many know Chariots of Fire? Wave at me if you know Chariots. How many don't know Chariots of Fire? Amen. You weren't born. But anyway, Chariots of Fire is an Oscar award-winning movie. It's an Oscar award-winning musical score. We're going to have the Olympics this summer. They will inevitably play the Chariots of Fire theme. But in the movie, it's a family of missionaries. They're doing God's work. But one of the young men in the family, his passion is to run. His dream is to run in the Olympics. And so he gets up every day, and he runs, and he trains, and he trains, and he runs. And there's a scene in the movie. All of y'all haven't seen this. You better Hulu, Netflix, do whatever you got to do just to see this one scene. He ticks off his family. They're so aggravated and annoyed at his passion to pursue this crazy dream. So in the movie, he has a confrontation, a collision with one of his family members, and they come and they confront him, and they say these words, why do you run all the time? You get up every day and you run and you train and you train and you run, and you're just so consumed by this dream to run in the Olympics. You're supposed to be a missionary. He looks his family dead in the eye. Oh, Carpenter's Church, and this is what he says. He looks him dead in the eye and says, but when I run, I feel God's pleasure. Come on, somebody. What is it in your life that when you do it, you feel the pleasure of God? Because that's the call of God on your life. I used to think the opposite. I used to think God called you to do stuff you hated doing. Because I always heard Christians whine and gripe and complain. Can I say that Christians are the biggest, fattest babies on the face of the planet? I don't want to get too personal with you good people, but I go to a bar and take a drunk, and he can handle problems better than church folks.
You're like, what do you mean, Reverend?
Have you ever asked a Christian, how's it going? Worst mistake of your life. How you doing today? Well, I'll make it, I guess. Who'd want to follow you? How's it going today? Well, I'm greeting people here at the church. I hate it, but I'm doing it for Jesus. Hey, can you help us out in the usher category? Well, okay. Hey, we're a little light-handed in the nursery. Can you give us a hand? Well, blah, 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 all right. Hey, we need some help with the, you know, with the worship team. Can you have, all right. You know, you think, man, God must call you to do stuff that's awful. Because I always heard Christians whine and gripe and complain, and I ain't saying that there are hard moments, and I'm not saying that there are times that you and I won't struggle. What I'm saying is, God doesn't call you to do something that he didn't create you to do. And when you do it, you'll sense that it's right. And you'll sense that that's who you are. You'll sense that that's who you were created to be. When I started ministry back in 19, none of your business, I started in a little town called Siloam Springs, Arkansas. It's northwest Arkansas. The pastor that founded the church, Sister Joy, was avidly passionate about Mexico. He wanted to see Mexico won to the Lord. He ate, drank, breathed, and slept Mexico. He was passionate about it. And so when he built the church, watch this, he built a sister church in Mexico. But it didn't stop there. He went to his congregation, his elders, deacons, and board, and he told them, as long as this church exists, every year that we exist, every year we will match it and build another church in Mexico. So they did it the second year, the third, the fourth, and the fifth. It was always the same. He'd get up every year in January, and he would say, folks, time to build another church in Mexico. And everybody would applaud, and he would cast vision. They'd take up pledges. All throughout the year, when the pledges would come in the fall, they would assemble a team together, take the money and the pledges in that team. They'd go over to Mexico. They'd throw up, you know, kind of like a temporary building, like a metal building. They'd get a couple of missionaries in place. They'd hold a two-week revival and build a church. They built over 80 churches. Come on, somebody, for the kingdom of God in Mexico. It's amazing. Now, when I say they went to Mexico to build a church, please know they didn't go to the beach and play volleyball and pass out tracts and call it a trip. They went to the ghetto. They went to the barrio. They went to the places where there was no running water and little kids' stomachs were swelled out. People were living in cardboard boxes. I'm talking about the real deal. Now, I was a youth pastor in my younger years of ministry, and so every year some of my teenagers would want to go. Every year, never failed. They'd come to me, Pastor Michael, I want to go. Please let me go to Mexico. And I was always very, you know, leery about letting a teenager go. Because how many of you know teenagers don't really work? Can I get a what? I asked my daughter, clean your room. She's like, ah! Like I asked her to donate her liver or something. My son comes to me like, Dad, I got a callus. I'm like, yeah, from the PS5, but it's not from digging a ditch. Let's face it, them teenagers are still working on that work ethic thing. But I'm going to tell y'all something. Carpenter Shaw, I'd let them go. I'd let them go. I want to tell y'all something. That first day, they were out there working. They were out there working. That first day, they were out there handing somebody a hammer. They had a bag of Quikrete in a wheelbarrow. They were rolling the wheelbarrow along. They were helping somebody build a header. They were handing somebody a piece of wood. I'm telling you, man, that first day, them teenagers were working. That second day, it was all about that third day. They're all running around out in the streets, and, you know, they'd be playing with little kids, and they'd be passing out toothbrushes as gifts. And I know some of you are like, toothbrush is not a gift. Well, they're not spoiled like we are here in North Carolina. They had toothbrushes, and they were glad to have them. We gave a kid a can of Coke. You'll have today, what, like 10? We gave a kid a can of Coke. We saw him 3 days later. He still had the can of Coke in his hand. He not even opened it. This little boy was walking around with a can of soda, like it was a piece of gold or something. So now no longer were my students building, you know, like the physical church, you know, with like wood and nails, but you better know they were building a church because they were loving kids. And they were swinging little kids around like this. And they were bouncing them around their shoulders. And they were blowing up balloon animals. And one of my students, her name was Allison. She was only 16 years old. She comes home and she is all hyped up. She's like, Pastor Michael, now I know. I'm like, what are you talking about? She said, now I know. I said, what do you mean? She said, now I know what I'm supposed to do with my life. And I said, what? She said, play with kids. Isn't that amazing? And I said, really? And she said, yeah. And all of a sudden, the call of God on her life was some great big thing that she didn't even know was there. The call of God on her life was to love children, was to be with children, was to play with children. Are you ready for this? She is now the children's pastor at my home church, pastoring 400 kids every single Sunday. Come on, somebody. Sometimes God moves in ways that'll blow you away. So I'm asking you in 2024, what are you passionate about? Well, people have told me. I'd ask what people told you. What are you passionate about? Well, I've taken some classes. I'd ask what your education was in. What do you love to do? Well, you know what I love to do? It's not really churchy. I didn't ask you if it was churchy. What do you love to do? Because when you find that thing, that may very well be the call of God on your life. Can I get a big amen? Amen. We had a guy in our church. He was very passionate too. Extremely passionate young man. His name was Jason. And Jason was very passionate about punching people in the face. He punched people in the face all the time. He fought all the time. He'd come to me and go, Pastor, I just like to punch people in their face. He goes, I just like to fight. He was just, there was not a week went by, this dude was not beating the snot out of somebody. He was just constantly fighting. So he decided, I'm so passionate about fighting that I'm going to make it a career. He's an MMA fighter. Does that make a little bit more sense? I want y'all to think he was just randomly in a Walmart punching people in the face. Do we have any UFC fans? Come on, wave at me, UFC fans. Love me some UFC. I'm not into boxing. I think boxing's for fairies. You want to know why? Because they put pillows on their hands. If you're going to be a man, get in the octagon and punch someone in the face. These boxers are like, yeah, I'm tough. You're tough. You got pillows on your hands. You got sequins on your drawers. You're dancing around like that. I watched that Mayweather-Pacquiao fight a little while back. Man, they hugged each other more than I hugged my spouse, okay? So if you're going to be a man, get in the octagon and punch someone in the face. But how many of you know God always has a plan? And I had two born-again, spirit-filled MMA fighters that attended my church. So they invited Jason to our church. Now, I got to tell you, Carpenter Shop, you need to understand, Jason had never been to church in his life. Jason never had darkened the church doors one time in his whole life. He didn't know if Matthew was in the Old Testament, the New Testament, or the bulletin, okay? He had no idea. He didn't know a tithe from an offering, a hymn from a chorus. He'd never been to church. He even used to joke with me and go, Pastor, I better not come to church on Sunday because I was out at the club on Friday night, and if I come to church on Sunday, the walls may cave in. I'm just like, dude, we're just glad you're coming to our church. We just love you. And dude, he kept coming to our church. He loved our church. He loved the vibe of our church. So he kept coming. It was kind of funny because when at first he started in the back, right? And after about a month, he'd move up a little bit. After another month, he'd move up a little bit. After about 4 months, dude's sitting on the front row. Well, we had a comedy night at our church, just like we're going to have here tonight. And how many know tonight ain't just about jokes, it's about Jesus. Tonight's a soul-winning outreach. Come on, how many want to see some people born into the kingdom of God tonight? Come on, you ought to make some noise for that. How many want to see people get saved in here tonight? Well, we had a comedy night at our church, just like tonight. Well, 4,000 people showed up. We had, I think the numbers were 3,976, almost 4,000 people showed up at our church. That night, we did the comedy night. At the end, I gave that altar call. 700 people crashed the altars. The first one was Jason, ran down, threw his drugs all over the altar, gave his heart to Jesus Christ. Come on, somebody, it was awesome. Now it's funny because now every time Jason had a fight, he would call me for prayer, okay? Because, you know, I'm his pastor. So ring, ring. I'm like, hello. He's like, hey, Pastor, guess what? I said, what's up, Jason? He said, I got a fight tomorrow night. I said, dude, that's awesome. He said, would you pray for me? I was like, what? He's like, you're my pastor. Would you pray for me? I said, absolutely, man. How can I agree with you? He said, man, pray that I crush that guy's face. How do you? I don't even know how to do that. Lord, help him crush his face in the name of Jesus. I can't do that. So I'd say, Lord, through his training and his abilities, you know, help him to be victorious. You know, just something. Throw the dude a bone. Whatever. Anyway. Spike TV has a show on called The Ultimate Fighter. They asked Jason to come on the show. See, church, you need to know everything is going right in Jason's life. He's coming to church. He's volunteering. He's tithing. He's reading his Bible. He's getting all these great career opportunities. So y'all know might know Mark Cuban, and he is the co-owner of the Dallas Mavericks, you know, judge on Shark Tank. Well, Mark Cuban in downtown Dallas every year holds an event called HDNet Fights. If you win a fight in that event that Cuban holds, it can catapult your career into the UFC. It can change your life. Well, Jason got a title fight. So a bunch of us, we just caravan downtown Dallas that night to cheer him on. That night, Jason won the fight, got the belt. Flash 3 months later, he calls me on the phone. Ring, ring. I'm like, hello. He's like, hey, Pastor, guess what? I said, what's up, man? He said, I'm starting a Bible study. I said, dude, that's awesome. At the church? He's like, nope, in the octagon. I'm like, what? He said, I'm starting a Bible study in the octagon. I said, what are you talking about? He said, Pastor, he said, I'm the champ. He said, I got the belt. He said, now that I got the belt, guys want me to train them. He said, but I decided I'm not going to train them until they come to my Bible study. So they're coming to the Bible study, getting saved. Then they punch each other in the face. How cool is that? Got another friend, and his name is Jimmy, and he's a freak. You're like, why is he a freak? He's got like 14 different colors in his hair. I know some of you are like, you're not down with colored hair? Sure I am. I'm just saying, pick one. Like, literally, it's like red, green, blue, yellow, purple. It looks like Disneyland and Skittles vomited right on top of his head. He's got this thing on his face. How do I explain this? It's like this. You're like, it's a beard. It's not a beard. You're like, oh, it's a goatee. Nope. It's like this long Fu Manchu, right? And it's braided on his chin, and it's yellow and green. I'm setting this up for y'all. Multiple colored hair, black fingernails, black eyeliner, yellow and green Fu Manchu, leather chains. He's 57. That's the funniest part of this story. He's got this band. How do I explain this band to y'all? It's a metal band, right? So it's like a metal band, but it's Christian, but it's rap. So it's literally like the Gaithers met Lil Wayne. I don't know, it's weird. You just, like, get together with Casting Crowns, Toby Mac, throwing some Kiss, Limp Bizkit, and 50 Cent. You know what I'm saying? So it's like it's metal, but it's rap, but it's Jesus. Got it? He calls me on the phone one night. Ring, ring. I'm like, hey, man, what's up? He's like, Pastor, what are you doing next week? I said, bro, I'm just chilling. He's like, dude, you need to come to one of our joint nights. I'm like, I don't smoke weed, bro. He goes, no, not a joint. He goes, a joint night. I'm like, bro, I was born in the 60s. I don't know what a joint means to you, but I can tell you what a joint means to me. So the brother had to explain to me a joint night. All right, a husky, a joint night is when they take a flatbed trailer and they roll into the middle of a Walmart parking lot, literally unannounced, and they just put on a concert. They just roll in. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's what they do. Like, have y'all seen those flash mobs on, like, YouTube? You know, like, 100 people just show up in a food court in a mall, and they just start dancing. It's like that. It's like a pop-up concert. So I'm like, cool, I'm down. So the next Saturday, we go. Now, y'all need to know, this is a little town in Kansas. It would make a Husky look like Philadelphia. I'm serious. This is a tiny little town. They didn't even have ice. They lost the recipe. It's a tiny little town there in Kansas. So we roll into this Walmart parking lot, literally just roll in, and literally, Pastor, they flapped on all these flaps, and they're cranking up all these speakers to ear bleed, and they're putting on chains and nets and leather. I'm looking around, and I was like, bro, there's nobody here. He's like, you need to wait for it. I'm like, dude, there's nobody here. He's like, you need to wait for it. I'm like, dude, did you even ask for permission? He's like, we'll ask for forgiveness. I was like, oh, wow. Whatever way you roll. So they start this in church. I couldn't even understand one word. It was like, wah, 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 wah. I couldn't understand a word. Every now and then I catch the word Jesus. It was like, wah, 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 Jesus. I'm like, Jesus, I caught that right there. He just said Jesus. So they're like, wah, 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 Jesus. And I'm telling y'all, these millennials and Gen Zs came out of the cracks and crevices like roaches at a cheap motel. It's ridiculous, man. They're flipping around on their skateboards. They're smacking into one another. They're diving off the stage. I'm like backing up like, I'm scared. Within like 30 minutes, there are 400 young people in the middle of this parking lot. After he rocks out for about 45 minutes, has their undivided attention, he throws down his guitar, picks up his Bible, starts talking about how he got out of gangs and drug addiction and alcoholism. He's passing out the book of John, anointing. I saw a kid get saved and baptized in the Holy Ghost. Come on, somebody. In the middle of a Walmart parking lot. That's awesome.
He's saying, well, I just don't know.
Oh, shut it. Maybe they wouldn't come to your church. But guess what? That's his thing. That's not my thing. That's his thing. And how many of you know he's touching people that I can't? You can touch someone that I can't. I can touch someone that you can't. So I'm asking you, what? Find your passion this year. Find something to be passionate about in 2024. Because when you find it, that may very well be the call of God on your life. Can I get an amen? Do you remember the disciples in Matthew chapter 16? I remember because it's right here in my notes. The disciples had been following Jesus for about a year and a half. They'd seen Jesus do some amazing things. Isn't it amazing how we get desensitized to the Word of God? Come on now, you don't look at me like you know what I'm talking about. Remember you when you first got saved? Do you remember how excited you were? Do you remember you were reading in the Word of God and you're like, oh my goodness, man, he made the lame walk and the blind see and he cast out devils. But you know what happens after a while? We get adjusted. Come on now. We get acclimated. It doesn't hold the same punch for us as that it used to when we first got saved. Like, for instance, right now, I could say Jesus walked on water. You all just totally validated my point. I just told you of a miracle, and it sounded like a library in here. I just mentioned a miracle, and rigor mortis was setting up in your faces. You should have went nuts. Why? Because it's amazing. I'm going to say it again, and you're going to go nuts like you should have the first time. I'll even do it old school tent revival camp meeting style. I want y'all to know there was a man. His name was Jesus, and he walked on water. Come on, he raised the dead. He cast out devils. He fed a multitude. You're like, I know, man, 5,000. No. That was just the men. Did you know if you talk to theologians and historians and you include women and children and you only go by two kids per family, how many know in the Old Testament way more than that? They did not have the contraceptives back in the day. So let's just go by two kids per family. That's 20,000 people with a Happy Meal. That is ridiculous. You got a family of seven. You can't go to Bojangles for $50. He feeds a stadium of people with a kid's sack lunch. And the disciples are getting to hang out with this man. How many know if you're the disciples and you're going to hang out with Jesus, you got to be feeling pretty good about yourself. You're hanging out with the Son of God. How many know that's a pretty cool hang? How many like to hang out with Jesus sometime? Have you ever met somebody famous and their fame kind of rubbed off on you? I don't know, were you ever in an airport or maybe in a mall and you saw somebody famous, you were like, ooh, just kind of freaked out. I used to think people like this were ridiculous. You know, like it's just crazy. They're just people. Like, I don't know how it is here in the great state of North Carolina, but can I tell you folks, in Texas, NASCAR is a big deal. Can I tell y'all something? Texas folk don't play when it comes to NASCAR. Texas Motor Speedway is 20 minutes from my church. It holds, are you ready for this? 250,000 people. The stands hold a quarter of a million people. You do understand you could take three NFL stadiums that are packed, combine all three NFL stadiums together, and that's just one race. They say it is the most visceral, adrenalized, Pastor, I've never been, but they say it is the most powerfully electrifying experience. They said when these machines come by, 200 plus mile an hour, whoa, they said not metaphorically, physically, you can feel it in your chest. They say when these machines come by that the rafters literally shake underneath of you. These fans don't play. So a guy came to my church. He had on a NASCAR jacket. It's not a big deal. But I guess what made it a big deal was the great Dale Earnhardt Jr. had signed it right here with a paint pen. So brother's telling me the story, and he's geeking out. Hey, look at that right there. Right? Dale, he said, I'm like, what is your problem, man? I was like, he's just a dude, bro. I said, he puts on his pants one leg at a time, like all of us, right? Man, you need to get yourself a life, right? And then it happened to me. Can I tell y'all a story? I'm downtown Chicago. I'm getting a Starbucks, and Michael Jordan comes and stands right next to me. And I'm like, freaking out. Then I went to Branson, Missouri. Is everybody in Branson, Missouri? We all know Branson. It's like the Christian Vegas. Anyway, I'm in Branson, and Pastor, there was a guy there. His name is Cecil Todd, and he used to do a Revival Fires camp meeting. And there was 5,000 people in this place. It was me, John Hagee, and T.D. Jakes, right? So I'm in the back green room. There's John Hagee. It's me. It's T.D. Jakes! T.D. Jakes! And there's a little voice in my head going, you're the weakest one. Goodbye. I'm like, what am I even doing standing here? So then I went over to Hillsong, Australia. Then I went to Adelaide. All right, Hillsong and United, we're doing the worship. Folks, it's called the Influencers Conference. It's a big deal. It was myself, the late Miles Monroe, John Bevere, Jensen Franklin, and Joyce Myers, right? First time I got to do a conference with Joyce Myers. You should have seen the poster. The poster was like her face. And my photo was down here in the corner by the copyright. It was like we're having Joyce Myers, by the way, Michael Rowan. I didn't even care. I was just glad to be on the poster. So y'all, you understand, Carpenter Shop, this is a big deal for me, man. It's going to be like 10,000 people. I'm all the way in Australia. I'm in the lobby. I got my little Bible, my iPad. I'm all hype. This is ready to go down. All of a sudden, bing, the elevator doors open up. Here comes this entourage of like 30 people. You got the dudes, and they got the earpieces in, and they got the guns, and they're speaking into their sleeves like this. And it turns out it's Joyce Myers and all her security. Well, Joyce Myers sees me. She shushes away off of all her security, and she walks over, and she goes, aren't you Michael Rowan? I said, yes, ma'am. She goes, wow, this is such an honor. I've heard a lot about you. And I was like, well, you know, you're Joyce Myers! Oh, my goodness! Is anybody familiar with the Brownsville Revival in Pensacola, Florida? Well, that was my church, and so Father's Day 1995, by the evangelist named Steve Hill, God turned our church upside down. And we saw 9 million people come from all over the world, 500,000 documented salvations. Folks, I saw people wait 17 hours to get into church, 4 nights a week for years. There is a dude, if you don't know him, you need to know. His name is Bishop Tudor Bismarck. He's from Harare, Africa, Zimbabwe. He is an incredible man of God, crazy prophetic anointing on his life, apostolic covering of thousands of churches. Tudor and I became friends. I told John Kilpatrick, we need to get Bishop Tudor at the revival. Pastor K looks over and says, Michael, I trust you, make it happen. So I'm setting this step up for y'all. This is exactly how it happened. That night, we flew this cat in all the way from Harare, Zimbabwe. That night, he's there with his armor bearer. The place is packed, thousands of people. John Kilpatrick on the front row, the late Steve Hill right next to him, Lyndall Cooley, great worship leader. I'm sitting right next to Lyndall. Tudor is up on the stage. He's got on his African robe. He's thundering away preaching. Right in the middle of his message, y'all, he stops. And he looks over at me and he says, Michael, stand up. That's what he sounds like. He said, Michael, stand up. So I stood up. He said, Michael, he said, put both your palms up towards the heavens, both hands like so. So I did. And then he put his hand like this and he said, Michael, he said, my hands are forward because God has given me a prophetic word for you. He said, your hands are like this because you want to receive it. And then he began to prophesy. He said, Michael, Hollywood is going to open up to you. Celebrities are going to come into your path. People of fame and fortune. People of notoriety. People that the world is clamoring to touch and talk to. God's going to give you divine encounters with these famous celebrities. You're going to be able to share with them your testimony. You're going to be able to share with them Christ Jesus. Receive it right now. And I went, whatever. Because I'm thinking, seriously, Hollywood, celebrities, Bishop, you missed it this time. Y'all ready for this? He put his hands out and spoke that word over me, and I put my hands out this, and I received it, and I'm not playing with y'all. The next 6 or 7 weeks, I got on an airplane. A major celebrity sat down right next to me. So I got on a plane, right? Pastor, I'm in the back. I'm in the very back. I'm back by the bathrooms. I mean, I'm in the back. They're throwing peanuts at me, telling me to shut up. Flight attendant comes up and says, are you Pastor Michael Rowan? I said, yes, ma'am. She said, you've been upgraded to first class. I said, don't mind if I do. How many of you know that don't happen? And how many of y'all know it don't happen no 7 weeks in a row? Come on, somebody look at somebody and say, favor. For 7 weeks in a row, God took me from the back of the plane to the front of the plane. And when I sat down, a celebrity sat down next to me. Now, this ain't going to mean nothing to you young people, but to you old people, it was Pete Rose. Come on, somebody. Pete Rose. Come on, he's almost a Hall of Famer. Pete Rose. My man invented the front slide. Pete Rose. I got on the phone with my friend. I was like, Pete Rose. He's sitting next to me right now. My friend's like, ooh, ask him if he's got a line on anything. No, he didn't say that. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I had to say it. It was right there. So I got on a plane the next week. This ain't going to mean nothing to you young people, but to you old people, all right, it was Regis Philbin. Come on, son. It's kind of cool. Sitting there, and I get on the plane next week. Sorry, young people. I'll get to you in a second. But I go fly over to London Heathrow Airport, and I'm telling you, First Lady, the Bee Gees sat down right next to me. Come on, y'all. The Bee Gees. I get on the plane next week. This ain't going to mean none to y'all old folks, but y'all young people, it was Lil Jon and Ying Yang Twins. And my assistant was to me. He's like, that's Lil Jon. I was like, Lil Wayne. He's like, no, Lil Jon. I was like, Lil Yachty. He's like, no, Lil Jon. I was like, Lil Flip. He's like, no, Lil Jon. I was like, what's a Ying? What's a Yang? Why is he little? Like, I was still trying to process what was going on. But there he was, y'all. He had on his flat bill hat with a sticker on top. And he had his dreads, right? And he had his grill and his diamonds, the ice in his teeth. And he's holding his crunk thing. And he's all, ha, ha, ha. I looked over. I was like, hey, man. He said, what? I said, how are you? He said, what? I said, how are you doing? He said, what? I said, how are you? He said, okay. It was nuts. Got on a plane the next week. Evander the Real Deal Holyfield. Come on, somebody. Former heavyweight champion of the world. Sits down, starts talking to me, right? I'm talking to him, right? I'm trying not to stare at his ear, right? But I did. I was like, don't stare at his ear. But I stared at his ear. It's there. It's crazy. I don't know if y'all know, Evander's a born-again believer. So I asked Evander to come to my church. He comes to my church. I got Evander Holyfield ministering in my church. Afterwards, we're going out to get a bite to eat. I'm walking in with Evander Holyfield. I'm like, yeah, me and Evander table for two because we're together. We're buddies. So they get on a plane the next week. For you 80s fans, it was Cheap Trick. And then I get on the plane the next week, and it was Omarosa from The Celebrity Apprentice. Get on the plane the next week, Exhibit, and all those dudes from that old G-Sco, Pimp My Ride back in the day. So I'm not kidding y'all. Like, literally. And then the next week, Travis Tritt, like country music star. So anyway, the next week, Pastor, it just happened like this over and over and over. And so my staff, it got to the point where they were packing my bags, and they were like, well, Bishop, tell us who famous you're running to today. So I get on a plane, and this lady sits down next to me, and y'all, all of a sudden, this light-skinned brother gets on a plane, right? Just a light-skinned brother, had green eyes. This dude was gorgeous. Now, I'm not that way, I'm just saying. You got to give honor where honor's due. That brother was hot with two T's. I'm serious. It looked like he was Photoshopped in real life. He was just a gorgeous human being. And dude, just shredded, man. Looked like his shirt was just painted on. Had a six-pack. And he had on his Louis Vuitton red bottoms, and he had his Gucci, and he's just walking down the middle aisle. And I remember just going, good Lord, that dude's fine. Okay. All of a sudden, this lady next to me loses her mind. She's all... I looked over, I said, calm down, I'm just a preacher. She said, don't you know? Don't you know? And I went, no. She said, man, that's Shamar Moore from Criminal Minds. Oh, healing right now in this Jesus name, this crowd. I guess he's on that show SWAT, right? Anyway, I looked at her. I said, lady, I don't know who that is. She goes, he used to host Soul Train. I said, does it look like I watch Soul Train? She goes, he was Malcolm on The Young and the Restless. I said, lady, I don't watch no soap operas. But I ain't even lying to y'all. I sat there and stared at Shamar the whole flight. What's my point? My point is these are phony, paper, pathetic heroes. They're just people.
And we put them up on pedestals like they're amazing. And just because they can dunk a ball, or just because they were on Oprah, or just because they wrote a book, or just because they're on television, we put them up on pedestals and say, man, look how wonderful, look how amazing that. What's my point? My point is the disciples were walking around with the Son of the Living God. Come on, somebody. And if I'm getting excited about Michael Jordan, how do you think the disciples felt walking into a town with Jesus? You think they just walked in on the low? They probably walked in, oh yeah, he Jesus, he Jesus. And he was like, shut up. You think they walked in with the Messiah on the low? They probably walked in, what's up, brother? Give me a J, ha ha. Give me an E, ha ha. He's like, shut up. You're embarrassing me. Then the little kids tried to come to Jesus. Remember that? Little kids tried to come to Jesus. What did the disciples do? Hey, you kids, get out of here. It's Jesus Christ. He's famous. And I'm his friend. What did Jesus do? He looks over and goes, you don't let those little kids come to me. You're out of the kingdom. Then what'd they do? Hey, come here. He has candy. Sit on his lap. He has Tootsie Rolls. Then he gets them all together in Jerusalem. And he says, hey, guys, I'm going to change up the way I've been doing everything here. And I'm going to come to Jerusalem. And I'm going to die here. And the disciples go, well, wait a second, Jesus. You're just like 30-something years old. I mean, people are just starting to hear about you. We're going to wipe out the Romans. You're going to be the king. And he says, no. He said, I came here to Jerusalem, and I came here to die. And he did. And Carpenter Shop, I have a feeling in this month of March 2024 that we're a lot like the disciples. You see, the disciples wanted Jesus to keep on walking them down the yellow brick road, and Jesus said, you want to follow me? You got to follow me down the Via Dolorosa. You see, when Jesus was around, the disciples felt safe. When Jesus was around, the disciples felt secure. When Jesus was around, it was complete and total comfort and safety. Think about it. They saw him walk on top of water. He walked on top of it. He raised someone from the dead. The winds and the waves were smashing up against the boat. The whole thing's about to break up. They're in fear of dying. And he's literally downstairs taking a nap. And they wake him and say, Lord, we're going to die. Save us. Homeboy just gets out there. Peace. And they're like, what? And they look at one another, they say, if the ocean listens to this man's voice, surely he must be the Son of God. Surely. Oh, come on, somebody. You need to know today that Jesus is not always the one that walks you down the yellow brick road. Sometimes you want to follow Jesus, you got to follow him to the cross. The call of the Christian faith is not to stay in the safe zone. The call of the Christian faith is to allow God to push you out into areas of risk and danger. Yes, it may be uncomfortable. Yes, it may poke you. Yes, it may prod you. But that's what you were created to do. We started our day with it. We'll end with it. We are his masterpiece. Look at somebody and say, you're a masterpiece. You're a masterpiece. That God created to do what? Good works. When did he do it? It's already been done. Who would have ever thought that my friend Jimmy, with his rap rock speed metal, would lead young people that would never darken the door of a church? He'd lead them to the Lord in a parking lot at a Walmart. Who'd ever thought that my friend Jason would win people to Jesus and then break their nose? I wonder who would have ever thought my friend Annie would do anything for the Lord. I have a dear friend many years now, and her name is Annie. I'm sure pastor people would have thought that nothing good in Annie's life would ever happen. My friend Annie was a prostitute. She was beaten. She was sex trafficked. She was doped up, left for dead many times. She was manipulated, mishandled. She came to me one time, Pastor, and she said, Pastor, she said, what could God ever do? do with someone like me? How could God ever use someone like me? How would anyone ever love me? Then she asked me a question. She said, Pastor Michael, have you ever counseled two people that weren't going to get married and couldn't get past the other's past? I knew what she was doing, but I couldn't lie. So I looked at her and I said, well, Annie, I said, you know, I've had men in my office say, Pastor, I love her, and that's why we're here to counsel with you, and we want to get married, but I'm just being honest and being real. She's been married four times. Been married four times. So I'm obviously not her first. Couldn't get past the past. I've had women in my office. I said, Annie, I've had women come to me and say, Pastor, I love him, and I'm going to marry him, but I saved myself. I saved myself. I prayed for him when I didn't even know who he was. I saved myself, and he wolfed around in college and had 5, 6, 10 partners. Couldn't get past the past. And I'm not minimizing what they did. But now think of my friend Annie, who then looked at me and goes, what about me? I want to have a husband. I want to have a family. I want God to use me. But Pastor Michael, she said, on a good day. You know what she meant? A busy day. A good day maybe for her pimp. She looked at me and she said, on a good day, 14 men. One after the next for $100 like I was a piece of trash. Who's ever going to love me? What could God ever do in me? How could he ever use someone for his kingdom like me? Oh, but can I testify to somebody today that she did get saved? She did get saved, and she did get filled with the Holy Ghost. And she did find a man to look past her past. And she did get married, and she is married, and she started a ministry, are you ready for this, called Hookers for Jesus. I was like, oh, wow, Annie, wow. Let's call it prostitutes for the Lord. She goes, no. She goes, that's what I was. She said, that's what I was. And she started Hookers for Jesus. And the 700 Club found out about it. And Joyce Myers found out about it. And she wrote a book called Fallen. I would tell you to go get it and read it. And you know what? She started Destiny House that is in Las Vegas. And where you know where she is every night? Down on that strip. Ripping girls out of prostitution. Ripping girls out of pornography. Ripping girls out of sex trafficking. Why? Because that's what she's passionate about. That's what she's passionate about. Oh, Carpenter Shop, what are you passionate about in 2024? Find it. Because when you find that thing, that's God's call on your life. We are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do, say it with me, good works that God prepared what? In advance for us to do. You know what that means for us? Tonight. It means tonight. God ordained this event tonight. I believe with my whole heart, not taking anything away from today, Pastor. Wanted to uplift, encourage, and equip the body of Christ, your family, your church family. But I believe the reason that this man and woman and I met will be because of tonight. I believe that. Do you know how much money and time and preparation and thought processes have come? We met last fall. It's been several months, weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks of preparation and prayer. I got my whole team in Dallas praying and agreeing with one another for tonight that there'll be a massive harvest of souls, that there'll be families that are brought not only into the kingdom of God but become a part of this church, and you guys continue to grow. Come on, somebody, does that not excite somebody? Can I tell you, God is only, you've only begun to scratch the surface of what God's going to do at the Carpenter Shop. All that's been done, all you got to do is show up and bring someone. That's all you got to do. That's all you got to do. My father, Pastor, my goodness, he used to love to talk to me in stories and riddles and parables. I guess Jesus did it. My dad thought it was a cool thing, too. And my dad came to me when I was just a young boy. And he said, Michael, I want you to know, and you need to have it always stick with you, that there's something better than going to heaven and there's something worse than going to hell. Figure it out. First Lady, that racked my brain for a week. And I came back to my dad and I said, there's nothing better and there's nothing worse. He goes, yes, there is. You need to figure it out. I came to him after about 2 weeks. He just would not crack. He would not tell me. And I came to my father as probably 13 or 14-year-old young boy. And I said, Dad, there's nothing better than going to heaven to see Jesus face to face. I don't have to hear him preached about anymore. I don't have to read about him anymore. I don't have to sing to him anymore. I can just look him in his face and say, thank you for the cross. Thank you for my taking the guilt and my sin and my shame. It's nothing better than going to heaven. And I said, Dad, hell? Where the Bible says there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. The scriptures say, well, the worm never dies. You know what that means? You don't burn up. You just burn and burn and burn. Can I give someone a newsflash in here today? You're not going to be hanging out partying with your buddies. It is going to be darkness and alone. And this is the part, eternal separation from God. Y'all, I don't want to go one day of my life without his presence. And to think of an eternity separated from him, there's nothing worse than that. And my dad hugged me and began to cry. And he said, son, do you want to know what's better than going to heaven? I said, please. He goes, taking somebody with you. And I said, well, then what's worse than going to hell? And he said, tonight, comedy night. You're like, tonight's comedy night? What was this? Today was like a Catholic funeral compared to tonight. I'm saying, y'all think I'm playing? You'll need a diaper. I'm not messing with y'all. You will have more fun tonight than you've ever had in church. People that don't even like church will like tonight. But at the end of the night, I'm going to flip the script, and I'm going to give my personal testimony of how I came to the Lord, and then I'm going to give an altar call. How many still believe in a good old-fashioned Pentecostal Holy Ghost altar call? Come on, somebody. How many, I still believe that a man can get up and say, hey, if you need to turn your life around, come down to this altar. I still believe in that. So I'm going to say this and then pastor can come, but I'm going to tell on church. I'm going to tell on church. Churches don't have Sunday night anymore. Wednesday nights are becoming extinct. We got internet and all that. And you know what? I'm thankful for it. Internet audience, God bless you. But can I tell you what was supposed to be a supplement has become a replacement. I'm old school. Nothing can replace being in the house of God with your brothers and sisters in Christ. Nothing can replace that. If you're not feeling well or whatever on vacation, you need to join, praise God. But I'm telling you, I believe you ought to be in the house of God. Somebody came to me and said, well, I don't have to go to church to be a Christian. And I said, you don't have to go home to be married. They said, what? I said, you don't have to go home to be married. But I said, I bet you if you stayed away from your house long enough, your marriage would be highly impacted. Staying away from this house makes a relationship with his bride shaky. And so I encourage you, be here tonight. Bring somebody with you. Because let's just face it, friends, if a pastor got back 25% of his Sunday morning on a Sunday night, he'd do cartwheels. I'm just being real. If a church pastor could get back half, let's just say 50% of Carpenter Shop came back tonight, he'd have every pastor in North Carolina calling him on the phone. Man, how you getting that done? Our comedy night is typically bigger than the Sunday morning. Also, you need to understand that I've heard of people coming from different areas. I also find the pastor has invited about another 7 to 10 churches. So don't think you'll roll up in here tonight 1 minute before start and get your cute little seat. Because if you got other churches involved,
and you got all y'all involved, and everybody does what they're supposed to do and brings somebody. So here's what I'm going to tell you to do. Listen, I'm not asking you to win your whole neighborhood or an army or even a small group. If every single one of you brought one, Pastor, it'd be standing room only if you all just brought one. So here's what I want you to do. Don't call me a pastor. Don't call me an evangelist. Don't even call it a church service. Just go to somebody this afternoon and say, hey, they flew in a comedian from Dallas. We're having a comedy night at our church. And folks, we stumbled onto something. We found out that people that won't darken the doors of a church will come to a night of comedy. Well, it's a setup. They're being totally bamboozled. Because I am. We're going to have some fun. But then we're going to give an altar call. And I want to see heaven populated tonight. Amen. Give him praise if you want to see heaven populated. Can I bless you before Pastor comes? Can I bless you? We don't bless people anymore. What's wrong with us? You can bless your day or you can curse your day. You can bless your marriage or you can curse it. Are you hearing me? You can bless your children. You can bless your physical health. You can bless your finances. Pastor, where's that at? It's right there in the book of Deuteronomy. Moses declared to the church, I've set before you blessings and curses, life and death. Now choose life. So, Bishop, when I found out the power of words, I called my father on the phone and I said, Dad, will you bless me? And he said, Son, I pray for you every day. I said, I'm not talking about that. Dad, thank you for your prayers. I covet them, but I want you to bless me. I want my father's blessing on my life. Look in the Word of God. They fought over blessings. People tricked people to try to get blessings. They passionately pursued blessings. So everyone in the building, both palms to the heavens like this. I learned it from a good African buddy. And I put my hands forward and I say, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift his countenance upon you and may he cover you with his name, the name of Jesus. Father, for every outstretched hand, I pray blessings upon their marriages, their future marriages. Lord, their friendships. Lord, their children, their grandchildren, their great-grandchildren. Father, for every outstretched hand, bless their physical health and their bank accounts and their jobs. Father, for every outstretched hand here at Carpenter Shop International Church, I pray that you would bless them with favor unlike they've ever known. And Father, I look forward to good reports in the future of the mighty things that you've done. I bless them now in Jesus' name. And everyone said, somebody give him praise in the building. Oh, come on, praise him, praise him, praise him, praise him, praise him. Yes! Hallelujah. Did that help somebody today? Hallelujah. Find your passion. That's what you were created to do. Amen. Pastor, I get so sick and tired of people saying, well, that's what we pay the preacher for. That's what we pay the preacher. Listen, ministry is not just something that a paid staff of professionals do. Ministry is something that we all do. Can I tell you, the moment that you said, Lord, I give you my life, you became a minister. You became his hands extended. In a moment, Pastor's going to give you an opportunity to bless the ministry. And I want to say this, when we connected, we don't have contracts, we don't have minimums, we have an astronomical budget. Pastor doesn't even know what it is because I've never mentioned it to him. But can I tell you, when I told the pastor I would love to come, and he said, let's do it, I did not say to him, well, Pastor, I'm going to need 3 armor bearers to come with me to run my table, carry my bag for me, give me a tic-tac. And I'm going to need Fiji water in my hotel room, Fiji water. I'm going to need a bowl of green M&Ms. Only green! I didn't do that, did I? As for yellow. Just a joke. I said, Pastor, get me there in a place to stay. He said, really? I said, get me there in a place to stay. I said, in the morning, in the evening, take up a free will love offering. Whatever happens, happens. And so if you've been touched by the ministry today, this is how our ministry for 37 years has survived, by people sowing a seed, either buying some things or swiping offering out there or giving this offering. Pastor, sometimes I get the Pentecostal handshake, you know, we love those. But he's going to give you an opportunity to bless
this ministry with a seed. If you sponsored a child, please, I implore you, see me at my table. I'll tear that page out, and then you'll be on your way. I can't wait for tonight, Pastor. Tonight's going to be epic. Welcome back to Man of God. Love you guys. God bless you.
Praise the Lord. Prepare yourself to give a kingdom offering that will benefit his ministry today. Now, do you understand why I invited Michael Rowan to Carpenter Shop International Church? Come on. A word on passion. Amen. A word on passion. Listen, here's your opportunity. Today, somebody say today, you have an opportunity to reach out your phone and call her. Call John, call Sally, call Billy, call Mary. You have neighbors. Hey, we're doing comedy tonight at our church. Why don't you come with me? Why don't we grab a hamburger or something at 5 or 4:30 and the comedy starts, not the church service. The comedy starts at 6, okay? So we need to be there early to get a seat. Here's your chance to do what the book of Jude said, snatch some people, okay? Just snatch some people out of darkness into the light of the gospel. It's your time. Can you find the passion to find one soul? Like he said, hey, if everybody brought one, we'd have trouble tonight, okay? If everybody just brought one, we'd have trouble. So let's do it. Let's pray for them right now. Father, in Jesus' name, those persons that we extend invitations to, would you bring them here? Would you bring them here, Lord? They're part of the harvest that you said in January that we would experience in this church. Tonight's our first big game. Amen. Tonight's our first possibility to cast a huge net of evangelism and sweep in souls to the kingdom of God. Would you cause it to be because of our efforts? In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Could I have our ministry team? Could you come on and give, if you would, just give. The buckets are here. Give to Mike's ministry. Would you do that now as we stand together and they begin to sing? If our pastors, if you would, when you come, would you just remain at the front? Just turn around. There may be individuals that may just want to hang for a special prayer. Maybe you need healing in your body. Maybe you need encouragement today beyond what you've already heard. But just come and give. Come on, give to the offering this morning. This is a kingdom offering for Michael Rowan, for Michael Rowan's ministry. God bless you guys.
These hands and multiply, God.
If you need prayer or have a special need, the pastors are going to be here at the front for you.
The altar again, set me on fire. Set me on fire. Here I am, God. Arms wide open. Pouring out my life. For me, you won't forsake me. You will be with me. Here I am, God, arms wide open, pouring out my life, gracefully broken.
Don't hold anything.
everything about you.
I surrender.
Surrender it all.
I surrender.
Grace upon those that will come in tonight. Grace upon those who are praying still for needs to be met in their own lives. Father, we exalt you today, God, because you're worthy. We thank you, Lord, for meeting the needs of your people, for extending a message of passion to us. Lord, help us to find ours and anoint us for your service, God, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. God bless you. Go by the table if you'd like there to see Michael, and we'll see you tonight, 6 o'clock. Don't forget, it's not 7, it's 6 o'clock. God bless you.